Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grey City Church.
Okay, we are coming to 2 Peter. Today is 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter the fisherman. A fisherman became a disciple of Jesus Christ, became an apostle, not just an apostle, but the leading apostle of the early church. You know, Peter is one of those who is in the inner circle. There are three people who are very close to Jesus and Jesus' inner circle. And this three was Peter, James, and John. When Jesus went to Jairus' house, the daughter has died. Jesus brought three of them. And before their eyes, Jesus raised this little dead girl alive. What an experience, you know. And Peter, you know, he was up in the mountain with James and John. And there he saw and witnessed the glory of God. What an experience. And he was also with Peter, with James and John in the garden. In the garden when Jesus said, "Would not you tarry with me for 1 hour? I want to pray. Just pray with me." Of course, the Bible tells us they fell asleep. Three of them. You know, in the Roman prison, Peter wrote 1 Peter. When he wrote 1 Peter, it was to encourage the believer. We all need encouragement. How many of you don't need encouragement? Put up your hand. Come on, if you need encouragement, put up your hand. We all need encouragement. We don't need people to come and beat us or say things that pull us down. So Peter wrote in 1 Peter to the believers to encourage them. What was he encouraging them? He's telling them that there is an external threat that is going to come upon them. This external threat is going to come in such a great, tremendous pressure called persecution. That when it comes upon them, he encouraged them that they should be what? Be strong. They should stand. They should stand, you know. And they should just keep on holding on to their faith and not give up. Then, of course, before he died, he wrote 2 Peter. He wrote 2 Peter. And when he wrote 2 Peter, his purpose was to tell them of the internal threat that is coming upon the church. And he talked about the false teacher, the false doctrine, and the false teaching. So today, we want to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And I entitled this chapter, This Thing, you know. And this is about Peter, as his life is about to come to an end. He's about to be martyred for Jesus Christ. And we know that he died, you know, according to history, he was crucified upside down. In verse 14, he said, "For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly body." Wow. Very soon, I'm going to go. You know, I have walked with people at a certain age, especially at a certain old age. They say, you know, I'm going. They know somehow that their time is up. And so Peter said, you know, Jesus has shown me that my days are going to be ending soon. My time is going to be up. And as his life draw to the close, as a curtain of life, falls on Apostle Peter's life. These are three questions he would have asked himself. The first question he would have asked himself, what legacy would I leave behind for believers who saw me as a leading leader of the early church? What legacy would I leave behind? Legacy is about how you live and what you invest in your time, your given time on earth. I want to ask you, what legacy will you leave behind? What will people remember you for? Are you a builder? You know, are you an investor? Are you a contributor? Are you a giver? Have you added value to the next generation? What will people remember you for? Not yet. You know, what will people remember you for? I want you to know this thing. Live your life. Live your life with this conscious thought that I only have one life. Let me live my life building a legacy for others, especially for us who are believers. Let's build a legacy for who? For the next generation. Let's build a legacy for our children and for our children's children so that they can see us and say, there's something about your life in Christ that I want to follow, that I want to imitate. So he asked, he would have asked himself, what legacy will I leave behind? The second question he would have asked himself, what is important to me when my life is about to end? What is important? You know, in his two letters, Peter never spoke about his business, his possession, or he never speak about himself. You see, there are people who are only seeking for one thing, self-glory. It's all about me. But Peter never talked about himself at all. He only talked about one person in his life, named Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Peter, when he talked about this Jesus, he said that he is my Savior and he is my Lord. You can never cancel, you can never deny this truth when the curtain of life is about to fall on you. This is what the Bible says. We all come into the end of our life as naked and empty-handed as on the day we were born. We cannot take our riches with us. Is it not true? You can't bring anything with you. You can build the greatest wealth, the greatest empire, the greatest account, but you cannot bring a cent with you. So Peter has to ask himself, you know, he had to ask himself, what is important to my life when it's about to come to an end? The third question that he would have asked himself, have I invested well or have I wasted and spent my life for self? A fisherman at the shore, he was about 20 years or younger, and Jesus walked on the shore and Jesus saw him and his brother, and Jesus called him and said, follow me and I will make you a fishers of men. Now as Peter comes to the end of his day and he looked at himself, he had heard this word, follow me, and he had just followed Jesus. He followed Jesus immediately. And now as he comes to the stage of the end of his life, he can say one thing, I have followed Jesus for almost 45 years. That's what Peter has. 45 years he has followed Jesus. How many of you here can say, I have followed Jesus for 45 years or more? Put up your hand. Come on. Praise the Lord. Any other? So you and me are the only older people here. All are very young. 45 years. He said, I have followed Jesus. How old are you now? 10 years old. And you believe in Jesus Christ at a very young age. You receive Jesus as your Lord at a very young age. You know, if when she reached Peter's age, Peter was about 62, she could have said, I have followed Jesus for 60 years. And if you live to 100, you could say, I have followed Jesus for almost 100 years. It's not that great. Would it be good? Yeah, you tell them, it will be great. Tell everybody. It will be great. How about you? Will it be great? Would it not be great that you are in the church and your children, your grandchildren are also in church, seeing you following Jesus for all these years? Would it be great? She's happy about it. You know, and that's what it's all about. Peter, as he looked at his life, he would ask himself, have I invested my life well or have I wasted and spent my life? 45 years he followed Jesus, and as he looked back at his life, he can say this, I have invested my life well in Christ and for eternity. I have not lost and wasted my life for something that is temporary or spent my life away. C.T. Studd has this poem, only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what is done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do His will. So give to Jesus all your day is the only life that's paid. When you recall, you have but one life. I don't know about you. I've come to a time in my life, now I'm in the mid-60. I've been looking at my life and say, God, my life gone. I have followed Jesus for 45 years to today. How have I lived my life, God? Have I invested it well for you, for your kingdom, for your church, for your people? Have I invested it well? Or have I just wasted my life pursuing over things that are only temporary? No matter how great a person is, how successful a person is, or how accomplished a person is, when the door of life is about to close, when the curtain of life is about to fall, he or she cannot avoid asking these three soul-searching questions that Peter asked himself. So as Peter comes to the close, and as history writing the final chapter and the final page of his life, as the church farewell a great hero of faith, a leading leader of the early church, Peter wrote in 2 Peter verse 12 to verse 15. Look at your Bible and is it on? Is it not on? It's on.
Therefore, I will always remember you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I'm gone.
Okay. So Peter wrote in this three verses, he wrote about this thing. He said, there's something that I want you to really hold strong in your heart. I want to remind you of these things. As long as I'm alive, I want you to tell you how important is this thing. When I'm gone, please remember these things. Say with me, these things. What thing? Well, this thing that Peter wrote about is different from this thing that Jesus talked about. Jesus talked about the Gentiles, the unbeliever that will run after these things. And what were the things that the non-believers and the Gentiles will run after? Is this thing of what I should wear, what I should eat, what I should drink. So the world chased after these things, which is only temporary for the physical. But Peter was talking about this thing that has got nothing to do with the physical dimension, but has to do with eternity. These things. He said, this thing is so important. As long as I got breath, I want to remind you. As long as I'm not here, I want you to remember. And I'm telling you, the thing that Peter talked about is these things, is what I want to talk to you about to remind you. Whether Pastor Stewart is here or Pastor Stewart is gone one day, you will always remember these things. So Peter put forth that this thing has eternal perspective, eternal value. These things will leave a legacy for others. These things show what is truly important to your life. And these things are the best life investment. What is the distinct that Peter is concerned about. Remind the church, telling them, stay to it, keep to it, hold tight to it. And these things is found in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want to talk about these three things that you should hold it strongly in your life, and then you should finish your life strong with these three things. Firstly, is faith. Your faith is important. Verse 1 to verse 4. Let's look at the Bible.
This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. Verse 2. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord.
Verse 3. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life.
We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence.
Verse 4. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises.
These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires.
The first of this thing is faith. Our Christian life begins with faith. It continues with faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we will end with faith. The final words of Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 is, I have kept the faith. Apostle Peter called us. The important thing that we need to hold is what? Our faith. What he called about this faith? He said it is our precious faith. Because we are saved by faith. This precious faith is because we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the gospel of Jesus Christ was shared to us, something in there is stirred. And what is stirred? The Holy Spirit initiated faith in us, so that when we hear, we believe. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 tells us, faith comes from where? Hearing the word of God. So Peter is saying that this faith that you have, this saving faith, is so precious. In fact, he went further. He said, I want you to know that the faith that saved you is the same faith that I have. Wow. This great Peter, the apostle, saying to all the believers, you are saved by faith, I'm saved by faith. This saving faith you have is the same as I have. I don't have something more special than you. We all have the same saving faith. Now, when he used the word same, it means this. It is same in value, same in rank, same in position, same in honor, same in standing, same in price. The same. There is no such thing. I think you got to stop this. If there's something in your mind that tells you others are more special than you, that somehow God has got first-class Christian, second-class Christian, somehow God has got some who are more favorable than you, more favored than you. It's time you cancel that thought. Say amen to that. Because I'm telling you, I feel that at times, don't you? We all feel that at times. Why God, my fellow, why me? But the Bible tells us, as Peter said, I want you to know, this faith that saved you is the same faith that is upon me. Apostle Peter is upon you. That means with this same faith, this precious faith comes equal value, equal precious, equal honor, and equal privilege. Say amen to that. You know, God is no respectable person. It's the same faith that we have. What is the difference? What is the difference? The difference is this. We all have the same faith. Our difference is in terms of calling, in terms of gifting, in terms of talent. The greater your calling, the greater is your gifting, the greater is your talent. The greater is what? Your opportunity. Don't you think so? But we forget this principle. More is given, more is also what? Required. So people get caught up, oh, look at me, I'm so gifted, I can do this. But they forgot, the end is not to boast about yourself. The end is to recognize whatever God has given me is for me to use it for His kingdom, for His glory. And one day I have to stand before Him and answer for what that is given to me. So, hold on to what? You say, hold on to your faith. Your faith is important. This is the thing that you must hold on. You are saved by faith. You walk by faith. You live by faith. And you'll finish by what? By faith. But that's a danger. There's a danger here. We realize we are saved by faith. Then later on we are trying to live by what? By work. Then we are trying to finish our life by what? By work. No, the Bible says it's all by what? By faith. Now, Peter went further and said, this same precious faith that you and I have is based on one person. He is Jesus Christ. He is both Savior and Lord. And Peter declared Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord 3 times in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, chapter 2, verse 20, chapter 3, verse 2. He said, Jesus is Savior. Savior, when He came to die for the sin of the world. He is Lord, when He is resurrected from the dead and now exalted to sit at the right hand of the Father. This Jesus is Savior and Lord. That's where your faith is. And because He is resurrected, He conquered sin, He conquered death, He conquered Satan, He conquered hell, and His victory becomes our victory. And what happened then? What happened is this, what Peter said. Because of our faith, and because of what Jesus Christ has done, the result in our life is peace and grace. And this peace and grace that God has given you is not stagnant. Say amen. In fact, it has got multiplication effect. This is what verse 2 says. May God give you more and more. Say amen. More and more. More and more what? More and more grace and peace as you grow in the knowledge of God. Many times over as you deepen your experience with God. You see, the Bible talk about more and more. Our understanding of more and more is God. How much more can I have? Man, maybe got more in my bank account. We see more in terms of material things. But here Peter said, more and more has to do with what? Spiritual things. His peace upon you. Now, let me ask you one thing. Today, if I can give you $1 million, and say it's yours, but I want you to take all the hell that in your life, would you want $1 million? If I can give you $1 million and say, I give you $1 million, but you take all the pain and sickness, would you want $1 million? You don't want. Why you don't want? You see, that's where we don't equate. We should not follow the world. The world equate everything with physical and material blessing. We should equate God. I may not be the richest person, but I am a happy person. Say amen. I may not be the richest person, but I wake up every morning, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I can sleep, not to worry about what will people do to me. So this is what Peter said. This Jesus has come into your life, this precious Jesus, and He make you more and more in Him. We cannot get grace and peace from the world, from things, or from religion. But it's only through Jesus Christ that He died and He rose from the dead. He ascended on high, exalted as the Lord Jesus Christ. He led captivity captive and gave gift to men. Now, this precious faith is the same. Say amen to that. God has no special or free will. This precious faith is about who? About Jesus Christ. And this precious faith comes with God's power and God's promises. We are not powerless and we are not without promises. We have both power and promises from God to live this life on earth and to live His kind of life. Look at verse 3 and verse 4.
By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires.
So, we are born again by faith, right? Born again as a new creation. Born again to become partaker of His divine nature. Who Jesus is, I am to be. His victory is my victory. Wow! His pain is also my pain. You know that? His suffering is also my suffering. We see, we only want the good part. And so the Bible talk about, we have this divine nature in Him. This is a picture of being joined to God and not to the world. This is a picture of a changed and transformed life. This is a picture of what power and great and precious promises are available for you to live for Him in this world. This week, see your faith. What kind of faith do you have? Not watered down faith. The Bible says precious faith. How precious is it? It's purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. How was it purchased? He went to the cross in order for us to have this precious faith. See your precious faith, you know, and then not recognize your precious faith is backed up with God's power and His promises. Not just promises. The Bible calls it great and precious promises. I know that you are not alone. You have His power. You have great and precious promises to live life through anything. Say amen. Anything or everything. And to finish your life of faith. Faith in God is too important to lose it or neglect it. The Bible talks about faith as a mustard seed that has the growth potential. May I encourage you, let this faith, this is the thing that Peter talked about. Hold on to this thing. Let this faith, your faith in God, hold on and let it grow. Let it saturate your life. Let it become important in your life. So first is faith. What is the second thing? Let's turn to chapter verse 5 to verse 11.
In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith through the generous provision of moral excellence and moral excellence through knowledge. Verse 6. And knowledge with self-control and self-control with patience, endurance, and patient endurance with godliness. Verse 7. And godliness with brotherly affection and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Verse 8. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have not cleansed from their old sins. Verse 10. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really are among these those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will not never fall away. Verse 11. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, girls. Now, the second of these things that Peter talked about is character. Your character is important. Now, you came in this morning, I have given you a tea bag. How many of you have a tea bag? I want you to enjoy the tea. But The thing about this tea bag, someone has said that character is like a tea bag. Nothing. But when you put this tea bag into a cup, when you pour what water? Hot, boiling water on the tea bag. What do you see? It starts to what? Change. Character is like a tea bag. You are happy, I'm happy, I'm the best. But under pressure, it shows the true what? The true color. It shows what you truly are. I want you, the tea bag I give it to you, you can keep it. Or when you drink it, remember what I share with you. Character is like a tea bag. Some people say character is what you are when it happened behind the door, when no one sees. That is character. So Peter said, look, the first thing that is important is faith. The second thing that is important is what? Character. Because faith must build what? Character. Faith must build character. And then he used this word. He used this word, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promise, supplement, add to, and supply to your faith. So he said, in view of your faith, of what Jesus had done for you, in view of this great and precious promises, in view of that, now, act. Now, he's saying this. Everything that God has done for you is where? It's not up in the air. It's not outside. Where is it? It's deposited here by the Holy Spirit. Now it's up to you to cooperate with God and allow what God has done to be drawn out. And he used this word, supplement. I'm not a health fanatic. Those people who go to the gym every day, you know, they tell them you got to have what? Supplement. Some of them take 5 or 6 egg yolk a day. Have you gone to those shops that sell those health? Have you seen their supplement bottle? You know how big is it? It's so big. And they are supposed to do that. And I tell you, these people religiously will do it because they know this is necessary for them to do this and do this. And my wife's been going to the gym the last few weeks and she got the comeback, the this and that. The more she do this, the more I step back. One day, just 2 days, she's going, can you see my muscle? I look at her, oh my goodness. I married a she. You know, I understand say that people understand that in order to build this physical body, if they go to the gym, they put on supplements. Now, this is what the Bible is teaching us from Peter. Your faith is important. But your faith needs to act. And what do you need to add to your faith? He said you need to add to your faith character. Christian character, say amen. Character is everything. Because the end of the day, people will remember you for what? Your character. Your character leave a legacy. Character is important. And so this is what Peter said. Add upon your faith. He used the first word called excellent. Say it with me. Excellent. And excellent is one of our vision to be excellent. So what is to add to your faith? Excellent. Say excellent comes from this Greek philosopher word. Anything that is created to fulfill its purpose is called excellent. It means this. When you have a durian tree. I know not everybody like durian tree. If you have a durian tree, how many like durian tree? Put up your hand. I need to pray for you. If you have a durian tree, and this durian tree is producing durian, it's called what? Excellent. Because it's what it's supposed created to produce. Right? If you have a durian tree and it doesn't produce anything, it's called what? Not excellent. Just like Jesus went to the fig tree, it's not producing. So, this is what it means by excellent. What were you created for? What is the chief aim of man? The chief aim of man is to bring glory to God. Every time when you live your life, whether in words or in action, to bring glory to God, it's called what? Excellent. So add to your faith excellent. That means do what God has created you for, what God has saved you for, and when you do that, it is excellent. Can you understand that? Because some of us may think, hey, this is quite hard to be excellent. You know, it's such a big word. What the Bible says simply is, do what you are made to do, created to do, and if you do it, you are excellent. Then he said that, add to your excellent what? Then you add to your excellent, what's the next thing you need to add to your excellent? Knowledge. This is not about information, it's not head knowledge, it's the ability to know, discern, and apply. This is about practical knowledge in order to be successful and fruitful. If you look at the book of Proverbs, it's all about what? Knowledge and wisdom. Not up here, but how to live it, how to apply it. And when you know how to live and apply, it changes your life. It brings blessing and it brings success to your life. It makes you a better person to influence your world for Him. Then he said, add to your knowledge self-control. And you look at verse 4. Verse 4, he said, in verse 4, Peter said that we have escaped this corrupted world and its desire. So how do we escape? We escape by self-control. Self-control. This is the Christian who can say no to sin, no to the world, no to wrongful emotion. Look, can I tell you, not all your emotions are healthy. If they are no good, you need to what? Cancel it. How do you cancel it? Don't think. Don't entertain it. Don't have second thought. So this is self-control, able to cancel all the negative emotion when you are in the car and someone overtake you. And I tell you, our road today is more crazy than it was ever before. And you feel like overtaking the person, shouting at the person, what must you do? No. It's called self-control. Self-control. You know? And then, no to temptation. Oh, no to temptation. Everybody has certain weakness. My weakness is F-O-O-D. I don't know about you. I love food. Just like a friend was saying, you know, when I pass by the chocolate cake, I can hear the chocolate cake calling out, come, eat me, try me, I'm good. You know, and you must be able to say no, you know, no to self-indulgence, no to the pleasure of sin, no to the lust of the eye, no to the pride of life. What would the world be if Adam and Eve would just say what? No. If you don't say no, no self-control, then there are consequences that will come upon you. Then he said, add to your self-control, persevering, or, you know, which means, this is what. Self-control is something from inside. Perseverance to be able to endure, when Paul talked about, is something from outside that comes upon you. And you're talking about the persecution that comes, you know, the accusation that comes. You say when all the pressure that comes upon you, you must be able to endure it. You must be able to abide and, you know, endure under the external pressure that comes upon you, so that you don't collapse, you don't crack. Can you do that? How do I do that? Well, this is where the Bible says, that God has given you great and precious promises. This is where you go to the scripture and find a word of God to help you to, so that you can hold on His promises. And you need to realize, difficulties come in your life. It's not 365 days. It's not forever. It's only a season. It's only a season. And I said, when you are able to do that, add godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, which is the hallmark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Can I say, when it comes to Christian character, we have not all arrived. We are what we call WIP, work in what? Work in progress. And I think sometimes we have to be patient with one another. We want everybody to be on the fast track. Come on. Not everybody is going to obey Jesus like you. Sometimes Jesus had to work harder with other people. You realize that? We think that, wow, because I changed so fast, everybody also has changed so fast. No. All of us are WIP. Work in progress. And the key is this. This is what Peter said. In order for you to see this character taking place in your life, the key is this. Add to it. Make every effort. Whenever I don't have, I have it in Jesus Christ. It's deposited in me by His Spirit. Whenever I need strength, I go to the scripture, which is the great and precious promises. I look to the scripture, I take it, I apply it, and I believe it. You know, Christian character has to do with this word called practice, 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 practice. When you learn to practice to zip your mouth, very soon you will know how to zip your mouth. How many of you realize that? If you learn to practice to be generous, very soon you will be generous. It has to do with practice, you know. And this is what Peter said. When it comes to character, keep on practicing and practicing and practicing. Because Christian character must be practiced with this promise in verse 10 and verse 11.
So dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Verse 11. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
So what did Peter say? Peter said, work hard. Practice hard. Say amen. Work hard about it. Work hard with your Christian character. Work hard. And if you do it, the Bible said you are not short-sighted, you are not blind. The Bible said if you practice this thing, you will not what? Fall away. Okay. Second of this thing. The third of this thing is the word of God. Let's look at verse 16 to verse 21.
For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw His majestic splendor with our own eyes. Verse 17. When He received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to Him, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." Verse 18. We ourselves heard the voice from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. Verse 19. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in the dark place until the day dawns, and Christ the morning star shines in your hearts. Verse 20. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding. Verse 21. Or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God.
Okay. Faith is important. Character is important. Faith and character must be built on what? Must be built on the Word of God. Now, Peter shared an experience when he was up in the mountain. There he saw the glory of God, the glory of the Father. And there his ears hear the Father's voice, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." Yet Peter is saying this. No matter how great is your experience, you must always put the scripture first. This is what Peter says. Christian experience is not above or equal to the Word of God. Christian experience, you know, must be viewed in light of scripture. What does the Bible say? Christian experience is subjective, but the Word of God is objective. How do you interpret as your experience? Interpret with the scripture. One thing about experience, someone that share an experience that they have, after a few times they share, what they share becomes neither bigger or smaller. How many realize that? But this word cannot, is not distorted with time. The Word of God remains and abides forever. So here is what Peter said. Don't put your experience above the Word of God. The Word of God is fundamental to your faith, fundamental to your character. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. The world may talk about experience. Oh, you know, I'm taken up to heaven. I seen this, I seen that. I'm telling you, when the heavenly man came to Perth, he went to a church at the south of the river. It was packed because everybody wants to hear. I think the last few years, you notice that there are a lot of people talking about how they are taken to heaven, this and that. How many of you realize that books are written? Now, what do I think? What do I think? I'm challenged. I'm challenged not because I'm jealous they are taken to heaven and not taken to heaven. I'm challenged because Paul himself was taken up. And he never said, "I was taken up." He said, "I know of a man." Don't you think he's very humble? And he doesn't talk much about it. He doesn't describe much about it. You know, because Paul wants all the believers to anchor their life, their faith, their character into the Word of God, not to an experience of a man. But the human fault is we get caught by experience. We want to hear people experience. Let me tell you. Come back to where? The Word of God. Come back to the Word of God. And so Peter is saying, as the world gets darker and darker, the Word of God will become brighter and brighter. It will shine. And when the Word of God shines, you know what you can do and what you cannot do, where you should go and where you should not go. And when the Word of God shines, it exposes every lie and every deception. If 2 Peter was written to combat internal strife of falsehood, then the only way to combat falsehood is what? The Word of God. The Word of God. And he said, this is important for you to recognize that the Word of God took place when God moved. He called holy men, not special people, holy men. Man who loves God, who wants to seek His face, who wants to know Him, that the God, Holy Spirit, moved holy men, and under the inspiration, they wrote the Scripture. Now, this is where you need to understand. The same Holy Spirit that moved holy men must also move you and I to understand the Scripture, because the Scripture cannot be interpreted with human mind. The Scripture must be interpreted by the Scripture. Scripture must interpret Scripture. And the only way for Scripture to interpret Scripture is the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible said there is no private interpretation. Oh, I have something private from the Bible to tell you. This is something very special. Only God revealed to me. I'm telling you. There's no such thing. This is what happened in the time of Peter. False teachers were going around and said, I have some special revelation. Here Peter said, come on. God moved holy men, honorary men moved by the Spirit to write the Scripture. And the same Holy Spirit will move you to understand the Scripture so that Scripture interprets Scripture. Use the Bible to interpret the Bible. Say amen. Don't use what is happening in the world. You know what it's called? Futuristic theology. Futuristic theology is that they look at what is happening in the world and then they find an incident and run back to the Bible. Oh, this equal that. Let the Bible speak for itself. You believe this is the authority of God's word? I'm not talking about this iPad. I'm talking about the Bible is here. You believe this is the authority of God's word, the Bible? At least you get me wrong. You believe that? Come on. Your life is in this word. Your faith is in this word. Your character is in this word. Your hope is in this word. Everything that you have lived for, everything that you have sacrificed is based on what? This word. So that's what Peter said. The third thing is so important. Your faith, your character, and the word of God. Amen. Well, the unchanging word of God. A man named Peter, as he came to the close of his life, I think of Jesus asking Peter one day, do you love me more than this? Peter, you love me more than this. And now Peter is telling you and I, that these things that we should love, we should hold, we should treasure, is faith, character, and the word of God to the day we finish our life. Why don't we pray? Thank you, Jesus. If you are here for the first time this morning, I want you to know God's word is real. It never changes. It is life. Peter, very clearly and even proudly declare Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Lord and Savior. This morning, while every head is bowed, come, bow your head this morning. And if you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart, and you want Jesus to come into your heart as your Lord, as your Savior to forgive you of your sin, and as your Lord to lead your life, while every head is bowed, and you have never done that before, I want to pray for you. Would you put up your hand so that I can pray for you? Is there anyone here?
This is the end of the message. We trust you've been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.